We're continuing in Shvuchei Aran, the story of the life of Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, and his trip to Eretz Yisrael. We spoke previously about two people who he had a very, very difficult interaction with in Istanbul. As soon as those two left Istanbul to return to their home, the agent in Istanbul who arranged trips for people by boat, we had mentioned him earlier that these two people had gone to that agent and told him that Rabbeinu Zal is a terrible person and he's going to Israel to try to create all kinds of trouble for the Jews there and everything, and that the agent should do everything in his power to stop him, not to allow him to travel to Eretz Yisrael. So as soon as these two people left Istanbul, this agent came to Rabbeinu Zal and he showed Rabbeinu Zal letters that he had from many great tzaddikim, where these rabbis had sent letters to this agent asking him to help any Jews from different parts of the world that want to come to Eretz Yisrael and they go via Istanbul, that he should do whatever he can to help them, because this agent had protection. He had very, very good contact with the royal people in Istanbul. So the agent said now to Rabbeinu Zal, listen very carefully. If you reveal to me who you are and what family you're from, everything will be okay. If not, based on what I heard a little bit, I'm in a position to do terrible things to you, which you won't be able to challenge in any way. And bribery will not help you, and nothing will help. And not only will you not succeed in your trip to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael, but you'll end up in prison, in jail. When Rabbeinu Zal heard this, he immediately revealed to this agent who he was, that his name is Rabbi Nachman, he's a great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, and also a grandson of Rabbi Nachman Horodenko from his mother's side. And this agent immediately, like, was blown away. He stepped back and he left. The following day, he came back to Rabbeinu Zal with tremendous hachnor, with tremendous humility, and he said to Rabbeinu Zal with deep love and respect, he said, Rebbe, I'm with you. I want you to know that anything you need, I'm going to provide for you. And the benefits of the fact that you revealed to me who you are, you'll see how much you're going to benefit from that. Because if you wouldn't have told me, chas v'shalom, I would have gotten you put into prison, and I would have been punished in this world and in the next world. My request is that you receive every benefit in the world from me, both regarding hiring a boat to take you to Eretz Yisrael and anything else that you need, because I'm prepared and ready to serve you any way I can. The next paragraph, paragraph Yud Beis, the following day the agent came and he told Rabbeinu Zal that a boat just arrived from Chutz Loretz with Jews, and they have a very qualified shochet that can slaughter meat, poultry, and on that boat was also the great tzaddik Reb Zev Wolf from Charnostra, who was one of the students of the Mizritcha Magid, and other important people, and they all asked about Rabbeinu Zal, and this person revealed to them that he was with Rabbeinu Zal. And this Reb Zev immediately sent a messenger for Rabbeinu Zal, asking very much that Rabbeinu Zal come and join him, stay with him, and that it would be his pleasure and honor to have Rabbeinu Zal as his guest. Rabbeinu Zal refused. He didn't want to go. He said, where I am right now is perfect for me, is good for me. Because as we mentioned earlier, during the time Rabbeinu Zal was spending in Istanbul, he acted like a child. He was carrying on like a child. He would walk around barefoot, without a belt, without a hat. He wouldn't wear a hat. And he only wore his undergarments, which were long, covered his body completely, but again, like a small child would run around. Actually, he would wear like the lining of a coat, not wear the coat itself, he'd be wearing the lining of a coat. And he would go in the marketplace like other kids, running and playing, and he'd say, let's play war, you're the French, and we're the this, and let's play games exactly like small children would carry on. This is what he was doing a lot of while he was in Istanbul. shortly afterwards, a plague broke out not in the house, but in the courtyard of where Rabbeinu Zal was staying, and Rabbeinu Zal was forced to leave, to run away from there. So he went to the place, to the hotel or to the inn, where this tzaddik Reb Zeev was staying. Reb Zeev immediately prepared a beautiful suda for him, and he treated Rabbeinu Zal with tremendous respect. And yet, despite that, Rabbeinu Zal carried on doing things that were not to Reb Zeev's liking. And yet, this Reb Zeev ignored everything. He didn't let it affect anything. And because of his deep love and respect, even though he saw things that didn't make any sense to him at all whatsoever, he still treated Rabbeinu Zal with tremendous love and respect. For example, this Reb Zeev would be davening for the Omer on Shabbos. He'd be leading the tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal made sure not to be there at the time, to be eating at the time. That was when he was eating his suda. Because Rabbeinu Zal had davened earlier than the time that this tzaddik would be leading the tefillah. And he made sure that when this tzaddik was leading the tefillah, he was eating his meal. This was on Friday night this happened. Rabbeinu Zal davened earlier than him on Shabbos morning, and also when it came to suda shlishit. And when this tzaddik was sitting leading suda shlishit, Rabbeinu Zal said Birkas HaMazon, and he told the person that was with him, check to see as soon as there's three medium-sized stars, let me know, I want to daven Maariv right away. And Rabbeinu Zal made davened Maariv, made Havdolah, and took his pipe. Again, while this other tzaddik was leading Suda Shlishit, they were carrying on an elaborate Suda Shlishit, Rabbeinu Zal was already in Sunday, he was smoking his pipe. Whereas this tzaddik began Suda Shlishis sort of late, as many Chassidim would. And as soon as Rabbeinu Zal entered the room where this tzaddik was conducting Suda Shlishit with all the people there, Rabbeinu Zal came in without a hat, without a belt, with his pipe. Immediately, Rav Zeev welcomed him with respect. He stopped what he was doing. Let's do Birkat HaMazon right now. Immediately, Davin Maariv, immediately made Havdalah. And the two of them, Rabbeinu Zal and this tzaddik, spoke through the night, just about, through the entire night of Motzoi Shabbos. And there was tremendous love between both of them. Rav Nosson Zal continues about the katnus, the childish things that Rabbeinu Zal did there. Rabbeinu Zal went to visit the kever of Rav Naftali Katz. Rav Naftali Katz, who wrote the Sefer Smichas Chachamim, he was one of the great tzaddikim who lived before Rabbeinu Zal, who attempted a trip to Eretz Yisrael and did not succeed. He failed. He passed away in Istanbul and was buried there. And it was a custom among most religious Jews who would pass through Istanbul on their way to Eretz Yisrael that they would visit the grave of this great tzaddik, Rav Naftali Katz, as he was known. And Rav Nosson Zal repeats that from what he understood from Rabbeinu Zal was in great danger when he was in Istanbul. His life and his neshama were in tremendous danger, and it looked almost obvious that he was not going to leave Istanbul, that he was going to pass away there. And yet Hashem performed great miracles for him, and he made it through everything. And this katnus, this ability to conduct himself like a child, to pull himself all the way down like this, is what helped him tremendously. For example, when he returned from visiting the kever of this Rav Naftali, he fell on the ground and lay down on the ground for a few hours. Then afterwards, they picked him up, they placed him in a bed. He slept there the entire night until midday the following day. And he slept like somebody who was almost dead. They thought he might have passed away. Until Hashem helped him that he got up from the bed and returned to his full strength. And there were tremendous sakonos, tremendous dangers and obstacles throughout the time that he was in Istanbul. And yet he succeeded in overcoming it all. And he said that the insults that he received, and the katnus, the ability to humble himself to such a point, is what helped him tremendously. Paragraph 13, Rabbeinu Zal said that he got so involved in this childlike behavior, that he got so used to it, said when he was returning, when he was coming back, when he finally made it to Eretz Yisrael, and when he was on his way back home, and he wanted to get rid of all of that, to go back to normal in a sense, it took tremendous effort to climb out of it, because he had gotten so used to and so deeply engrossed in forcing himself to feel and behave like a child. Rav Nosson Zal writes that even after Rabbeinu Zal came back from Eretz Yisrael, he was unique in this issue, the ability to clear the slate, like in a sense, to clear the registers. We know, Rav Nosson Zal writes, that when a person wants to achieve a higher level, there's always the Yerida before the Aliyah. A person has to go down before they go up. A day, according to the Torah, begins with nighttime, darkness. Vayhi erev, vayvoker yom echad. First there's evening, then there's day. That's a full cycle. And Rabbeinu Zal, because he was constantly climbing, he was constantly striving to achieve higher and higher levels, each time he had to have the ability to impose a yerida upon himself, to humble himself, to lower himself. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that his chachma in these things, Rabbeinu Zal's wisdom in dealing with this yerida aliyah, this whole situation, was incredibly deep, incredibly profound. Paragraph 14. Rabbeinu Zal's in the city of Istanbul at this point, and that was when the war broke out between the French and the Turks, whereby Napoleon decided to travel to Egypt, Eretz Yisrael, Turkey. And when the people of the city of Istanbul heard that a major war is about to break out and that Napoleon was coming via the sea, the religious people of Istanbul decided that no Jew should leave the city at this point. It's sakonas nefoshes, dangerous to go out to the sea. And Rabbeinu Zal ignored this completely. He was prepared to put his life on the line, to risk his life. He said to the person that was with him, I want to do whatever it takes. Whatever risk it takes doesn't matter to me. But as far as you, I don't want to put you in any danger. So if you want, take whatever money you need for the return trip to go home and go back. And I'll go by myself, quietly, hiddenly, I'll sneak out of Istanbul and I'll find my way to Eretz Yisrael. Because myself, I'm prepared to be mafkir, to ignore any danger whatsoever regarding this. The person that was with him refused and said, wherever you go, for life or for death, I'm with you, your servant is with you. Just like Rus had said to Naomi in Megillas Rus. And Hashem worked out interesting circumstances that after a day or two, it became known that in the city of Istanbul, there's a very, very great Chacham, Sephardic rabbi from Yerushalayim, who collected a lot of funds for the poor people of Yerushalayim, and he was planning on staying in Turkey in Istanbul for a year, a whole year. But he suddenly decided, and he told the people of Istanbul, that it's been revealed to me from heaven that I must leave immediately for Yerushalayim. Because I see that my time is coming to pass away, to leave the world. And he said to them, don't be afraid about the French. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about a Jew going to Eretz Yisrael. No harm will befall anybody that makes this trip now. And Hashem will watch over them until they arrive safely in Eretz Yisrael. And this rabbi said that my burial place has already been defined in Yerushalayim. The people immediately accepted what he said, and they went and rented a large ship, they leased a large ship, and they announced, whoever wants to go on this boat can. And many people, men, women, children, Sephardic, Ashkenazic, joined this boat. And Rabbeinu Zal went with them also on this boat to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke to this Chacham from Yerushalayim, requesting from him that he take Rabbeinu Zal with him to Yerushalayim. Because he said, Rabbeinu Zal said he doesn't want to be in Tzfas or Tveria, just Yerushalayim. And sure enough, they made an agreement, a pact between them quietly, that's where they're headed. They're both headed to Yerushalayim, period. As soon as the boat got out at sea, a major, major storm broke out. And the ship was in tremendous danger, going up and down very high in the waters. And the people didn't imagine that they were going to come out of this alive. It looked like there was almost no chance in the world of the boat making it. And people were screaming, crying out to Hashem. And there was one night that was mamish like Yom Kippur. Everybody was crying and saying vidui, confession, and begging Hashem for forgiveness because they were sure that this was it. And they said slichos and other prayers. And Rabbeinu Zal sat in silence. Some of the people there started saying to him, why are you sitting there like that at a time like this, such a dangerous time? And Rabbeinu Zal didn't say a word. And there was the wife of the rabbi of a city, a particular city, Chotin, who was very knowledgeable, an intelligent woman, and she was crying and screaming the whole night. And she also started saying to Rabbeinu Zal, why are you being quiet? Why aren't you doing anything? And Rabbi Nosson Zal writes that it seems that Rabbeinu Zal even issued a curse, a klola, to her. And Rabbeinu Zal said, if only you would be quiet also, all of you, things would be better. And Rabbeinu Zal said, I'll prove it to you. If you'll be quiet, if you'll stop all the commotion, all the crying and screaming now, you'll see that the sea will also stop. And sure enough, they listened, they did, they stopped screaming, they were silent, and then as soon as daylight came up, the storm subsided completely and everybody rejoiced. In the commentary here, they quote a small note from Sefer Hamidos in the section of Tzaddik, paragraph 66, where Rabbeinu Zal makes a statement in Sefer Hamidos that at times, lefamim, hatfila einoy moyeles. There are certain times when tefillah does not help, only at its time. There's a time for it. Just like when the Jews were standing, when the Egyptians came chasing them, and Hashem said, Ma titzak elai, what are you screaming for? Now's not a time. Tell the Jews to go. Tell them to move. And the Gemara says that it was referring to the fact that now's not a time for an elaborate tefillah. It's a time for a very short tefillah and go. And Rabbeinu Zal writes there, ukishepoiskim lispalel, and when they stop davening, that's when Hashem fills out what he needs to do. So we see that even in something like this, a person would say, like, what could go wrong with tefillah? I mean, there's nobody could tell you ever that tefillah doesn't help or tefillah is not the right thing. And even that's not true. There's a time for screaming. There's a time for silence. There's a quote, Eis litzoi in Koheles. There's a time to scream, ve'eis lachashos, and there's a time for silence. We know, for example, in tefillah, usually, the Gemara says, hakoil mo'erer hakavona, that if a person davens silently, it'll be hard for them to concentrate. The mind wanders, the heart wanders. It's very hard to have your brain and heart focused in the tefillah, and one of the things that helps is if you make sure to hear what you're saying. Hakoil moir hakavona. And yet we know that in the Shulchan Aruch, and especially in Sifrei Kabbalah, there are times. There's a time for screaming, there's a time for praying out loud, and there's a time such as the Shmon Esrei, which is called Tfila Balachash, the silent prayer. A person would think that the Shmon Esrei is the most important tefillah, the place that you have to have the most kavana. It would seem most logical that if there's any part of the tefillah that you have to say out loud and really give it all, scream as much as you can, it would be the Shmon Esrei. And again, the tzaddikim, the tanoim in the Gemara, the rabbis of the Shulchan Aruch and the Sifrei Kabbalah, they are the authorities. They're the ones who know the workings of heaven. They know exactly how Hashem works. And they know when the time to raise your voice is, when it's a time to lower your voice, and there's a time to be silent, completely silent. We know in the story of Eliyahu HaNavi at one point was in a cave, and he asked Hashem to reveal himself to him, and Hashem said, first you're going to hear all kinds of loud noises, you'll know, Loi Borash Hashem. Hashem is not with a lot of noise. Then you'll hear something else, Loi Baruach Hashem. Then you'll hear a very, very silent sound, Koil Demomo Dako, and that'll be an indication that the Shekhinah is about to pass by. That'll be the indication. And it's the true tzaddikim that are qualified to guide us to lead us in every situation. This is the concept of Shimush Chachamim, where even when it comes to tefillah, a person learns and a person watches a Talmud Chacham, he watches a tzaddik to see exactly how the tzaddik reacts in a particular situation to make sure that he's doing the right thing.